Life is a festival in Krishna consciousness. A festival is an occasion of joy. And we have no shortage of joy because so many festivals. And today is a very important day, the appearance of Lord Balaram. The Julan Yatra festival is also so blissful. And devotees kind of feel a little sad. Okay, now it's getting over. So then Balaram comes and says, yeah, okay, don't worry, I'm here. And celebrate my festival, will give you some happiness. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yamuna Teeravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari.
Thank you.
Acharya, Ashtodara Satavishti Vandre Saharicharana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaurnitaya Ki Jai, Shri Balaram Jayanti Mahotsava Ki Jai, Nidhai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Oh, you got the golden throne. For Africa. We'll talk about it a little at the end. On Padra Purnima, Bhagavatam says, if you distribute or you gift, as Srimad Bhagavatam said, on a golden throne, then you'll go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Virandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karam Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yudhapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sankajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna
Hare Krishna.
Today is a very good day to get blessings because Lord Balaram gives not just ordinary strength, not only is he just strong physically, that's why he got the name Bala, by the way, or Balabhadra. Krishna himself says that Balaram has the name Bala or Balabhadra because of extensive physical strength. But today is an important day to pray to Lord Balaram, not just because he can give us physical strength. Well, to some degree strength is required to survive in this world. But more importantly, he gives us spiritual strength. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Okay. So you must definitely have gone to the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Yes? How many of you have gone to Vrindavan and not gone to Krishna Balaram Mandir? Okay, good. So this is one of the first few temples. Actually the first temple in ISKCON where you had a Krishna Balaram deity. And there aren't many temples, even otherwise, which have Krishna Balaram deities, even outside of ISKCON. The ancient temples in Braj, like the Dauji temple, they have Balaram's deity, yes, big deity. It's almost 6 or 7 feet tall. So, they're there, but Krishna Balaram together, very special. And what is the pose that Balaram has? And Krishna, one arm resting on the shoulder. Whose arm is resting on whose shoulder? Balaram's arm is resting on Krishna's shoulder. And Balaram's which arm? Left arm or right arm?
Left arm.
Left arm. Why is it not the right arm? Any reason?
Balaram's on the right.
Balaram's on the right.
And he's old, because he's old.
That's the point. So the one who is more senior is on the right. And the one who is not senior is on the left. Yes? Of course, when you look at them from your point, it's the other way around. But as they stand, yes? So you always circumambulate respectable personalities with them to your right. And that's why you circumambulate clockwise. Tulsi, for example. Or you go around the temple. Or you do a parikrama of Govardhan or Vrindavan. You'll always do it in a certain direction. When you go around Govardhan, you always keep Govardhan on your right. Because a respectable personality is to be kept on one's right when we move. There are such fine rules of Vedic etiquette. Even when you're passing by a respectable personality, you would pass him by from the right, from your right. And these are subtle things. Nowadays, who remembers such things? If you thought about such things, people would probably say you had OCD or something. some kind of malfunctioning. So when it comes to Radha and Krishna, what do you see?
The energetic is on the right and the energy on the left.
No, from their point of view?
So the energy on the left and the energy
yes,
on the right.
Yes. So as the energetic, that is Krishna, stands, from Krishna's point of view, where is Radharani? On his left or on his right?
On his left.
On his left. When you take darshan, then it's the other way around. It is Radharani is on your right. Right side. But from Krishna's point of view, Radharani is on his left. But when Krishna is with Balaram, he is on the left, Balaram is on the right. Why so? Because Balaram is the older brother. And Balaram really wanted to be the older brother. He had enough in Ramayana. He came as Lakshman, and then he had to follow every order of Lord Ram. Sometimes Lord Ram would give him very unpleasant instructions. He didn't want to follow them. I'm going after the deer. You stand here and look after Sita. No, Ram, this is an illusion. You don't go. It's probably some demon who's up to some trick. Please stay back. Or at least if you want, let me go there. And you stay here. No, you have to stay back. Lakshman is upset. What to do? Older brother has to obey. Yeah. Or he says, Lakshman, take Sita into the forest. What? How can I take Sita into the forest? But he has to do. So he had to do so many unpleasant things. He says, this is enough. Next time we incarnate, I'm going to come as the older brother. And then, you know, I'll be the one who will give instructions. So then they came as Balaram and Krishna. And even in Gaur Leela, the same Krishna and Balaram come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Right? So, of course, these are all eternal positions. These are all eternal relationships. Krishna and Balaram are eternally a pair. Ram and Lakshman eternally are a pair of brothers. But nevertheless, for the sake of Leela, these things are considered. Because from the point of view of chronology or sequence, in a given day of Brahma, you have the Ramayana, Ram Leela comes first, and then comes Krishna Leela. Yes? But the whole thing repeats in a cycle. There's a cycle that goes on and on and on. So in one sense, which is first and which is later? They all happen eternally. So Balaram is always Krishna's older brother in Vrindavan, eternally. And he looks after Krishna because he's the older brother, and that's what older brothers are supposed to do. They're supposed to look after the younger sibling. So Balaram gets very protective about Krishna. This morning at the Landanishwar temple, I was discussing about Balaram serving Krishna in all the five rasas. Very amazing. And because he's the older brother is like a father, somewhat, because he's protective. A father or a mother has to be protective about the children. So similarly, the older brother or the older sister usually protective about the younger siblings. So Balaram is always protective about Krishna. And sometimes he gives instructions to Krishna. You can do this, you can't do that. And Krishna obeys. So Balaram is a very special personality. You know, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada starts by saying, sometimes people ask, who is Krishna? Who is the girl next to Krishna? And the answer is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srimati Radha, the girl next to him, is Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Energy. So similarly, they may ask the question, who is Balaram? This is Krishna, he is God. And who's next to him? So who is Balaram? Balaram is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The only difference between Krishna and Balaram is that Krishna is dark complexioned and Balaram is white complexioned. That's all. Otherwise, they are two brothers. Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. Krishna expands himself into so many different forms. Because Krishna wants to just remain in Vrindavan and play the flute, graze the cows, dance with the gopis, and so on. But when he has to do so many other things, he has so many responsibilities. He has to maintain the whole material world. He has to manage the whole spiritual world. He has to even manifest the spiritual world in which to do pastimes. So then he expands himself. And then Balaram takes care of everything. And Krishna is left free to just enjoy his pastimes because Balaram takes everything on himself. And what does Balaram do? He's also very intelligent, so he also expands. So the game of expansion is quite unique. It's only in the spiritual world. We all may wish that we could also expand and one part goes to the office and one part remains at home and enjoys. Yeah. Or especially students may hope, you know, one part goes to the examination, the other part is sitting at home and relaxing. But that's not possible. That happens only with Krishna. Yes. Krishna can expand himself into an unlimited number of forms and he can accomplish all his purposes like that. So Balaram is the first expansion. I want to read a verse, one or two verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami narrates, speaking about Balaram's position, Krishna and Balaram. This is from the Adi Leela, chapter 5, titled The Glories of Nityananda Balaram. So please repeat after me. This is text 4 in chapter 5. Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan.
Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan.
Tahara dvitiya deha Shri Balaram.
Tahara dvitiya deha Shri Balaram.
Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan.
Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan.
Tahara dvitiya deha Shri Balaram. Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan.
Sarva avatari Krishna Swayam Bhagavan.
Tahara Dvitiya Deha Shri Balaram.
Tahara Dvitiya Deha Shri Balaram.
Sarva Avatari Krishna. You all heard the word avatar. Avatar and avatari. Avatari is the source of all the avatars. That's Krishna. So, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original form of Godhead. Swayam means self, or in this context it means original. So Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. There is a famous Bhagavatam shloka, Ete Cham Sakala Punsah Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna in Vrindavan is the original form of the Lord, of the Absolute Truth. And he is avatari, sarva avatari Krishna. So he is the source of all the other avatars. All the other forms ultimately come from Krishna of Vrindavan. Whether it is Ram or Narasimha or anything else, any other form. So who is the first expansion of Krishna? That is Balaram. In all the innumerable forms, unlimited expansions of Krishna, it all begins with Krishna expanding into Balaram. Tahara Dvitiya Deha. Dvitiya means second. Tahara means his, Krishna's. Deha means body. Shri Balaram. So Balaram, being the first expansion of Krishna, is like the second body of Krishna. One person in two bodies. It's almost like that. So Srila Prabhupada says here, Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this is the purport. Or rather, I'll read the translation first. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is a fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the primeval Lord, the original form of Godhead, and his first expansion is Sri Balaram. The Personality of Godhead can expand himself in innumerable forms. The forms that have unlimited potency are called Svamsha, that have limited, and forms that have limited potencies, the living entities that is, are called Vibhinnamsha. So Balaram is where all the expansions begin. And in the next verse, Kaviraj Goswami says, please repeat after me. I know we don't have it up on the screen, but these are short verses. So I think you'll be able to remember it as I say it. It's a good practice to strengthen your memory also. Yes? You know, just like muscles get strengthened by exercising, so does the memory. How many of you go to the gym? Okay, don't have to say it. Shouldn't ask that. But people go to the gymnasium to strengthen their muscles, right? So when you keep on exercising something, it becomes strong. So if you exercise your memory, it becomes strong. Nowadays we don't exercise the memory because we have technology. You want to find out 15 times 13, you don't exercise your brain. You don't remember what you studied in school, or you don't do the exercise 15 into 10, 150 plus 15 into 3, 45, 150 plus 45, 195. Too much of a botheration. Too much exercise. So we just pick up our calculator or our mobile phone and just do it. So it's good to exercise it, the memory, then it becomes stronger. One of the common complaints of devotees is I read and read and but I don't remember. So practice remembering. Everything happens by practice. So this is easy practice. Please repeat after me the next verse. I'll do it half and half. So you'll split up the first line also into half, so it's easier. An offer you can't refuse.
Ekai swarupa dohe.
Ekai swarupa dohe.
Bhinna matrakai.
Bhinna matrakai.
Adhyakaya Vyuha
Adhyakaya Vyuha
Krishna Lila Rasahaye
Krishna Lila Rasahaye.
Now we'll chant the full one, first line. Okay? That's how you remember verses actually, by the way. There are certain techniques followed in the Vedic system of education for how to remember verses. Some people have photographic memory, they just look and they remember. It may be like that. Some great personalities have that capacity to do it. They used to do it in the previous ages, but in this age it's difficult. So generally, the method, one of the standard methods for memorizing verses is when there are four verses, let us say, in a typical Bhagavad Gita shloka. One who is leading the chanting reads the first line. Everybody recites that three times. Then you read the second line. Everybody recites the second line three times. Then the leader recites the first two lines. Then everybody recites the first two lines together three times. Then the third line, repeat three times. The fourth line, repeat three times. The third and fourth line together, then repeat three times. Then the whole verse together, repeat five times, eight, ten, any number of times. And then it's easy to remember the verse. And also when you remember the meanings, you look at the word for word meanings and get a bit of an understanding of what the words mean, it's also easier to memorize. Okay. Ekai swarupa dohe bhinna matra kai. My God, that's good. Very nice. Ekai swarupa dohe bhinna matra kai. Adhyakaya vyuha Krishna lila rasahai. Adhyakaya vyuha Krishna lila rasahai.
Adhyakaya vyuha Krishna lila rasahai.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Eka is Swarupa Doha. Doha means both. Swarupa means identity. So both of them have the same identity. The two are one and the same identity. So there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. Bhinna Matra Kai. The only difference is the form. They have expanded into two different bodies, two different forms, that's all. Otherwise, they are one and the same person. Adhya Kaya Vyuha, Krishna Lila Rasahai. Kaya means the body, Vyuha means the expansion. Adhya means the original or the first. So Balaram is the first expansion coming from the body of Krishna. Krishna Lila Rasahai. So he assists in Krishna's pastimes. This morning in Soho, I was mentioning how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone and everything else exists only for his service. That's it. All the other forms of Godhead, all the other expansions who are not in the category of Godhead, the material energy, the spiritual energy, all the energies of the Lord, everyone, everything exists only for the sake of service of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Because ultimately everything emanates from Him. Nothing is independent of Him. Nothing is outside of Him. Nothing is separate from Him. So everything exists for His pleasure alone. Why does anything exist at all? This is a question, a deep philosophical question. The Buddhists say nothing exists. You know that? That's what they call Shunyavad. Vad means a philosophy or an argument. Shunya means zero. So their philosophy is Shunyavad. Nirvishesha Shunyavad Paschatya Desha Tarine. Prabhupada's pranam mantra says he went to basically refute these kind of false philosophies of Shunyavad, that is voidism, and Nirvisheshvad, which is impersonalism. So they say actually nothing exists. You don't exist, I don't exist, even the soul, even that doesn't exist. There's no spiritual light called the Brahman, at least the impersonalists accept that there is something beyond this world. The impersonalists say this world is false, jagat mithya. But there is something, this reality beyond the spiritual light, the Brahma Jyoti, that's real. But the Shunyavadis go one step further and say, not only is the world false, even the spiritual business is all false. There is no spiritual light, there is nothing. Everything is just zero. So want a little class in arithmetic? Okay. So we begin with Shunyavada, where everything is zero. That was Buddha. Then came Shankaracharya. He said, no, no, not zero, one. Everything is one. We are all God, the one Supreme God. You are God, I am God, we are all one. One time someone was arguing like this, and I got a little annoyed. We are all one. I said, then your money is my money, give me all your money. Yeah? Put your money where your mouth is. Yes, isn't it? So then Shankaracharya came along. Everything is one. But then the Vaishnavas came along. Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, not one. Two. There's a soul. There's Krishna. There's Krishna, the energetic, and then there's energy, Radharani or Lakshmi. According to the different sampradayas, there's different conceptions, Narayan and Lakshmi, or Lakshmi Narayan, Sita, Ram, Radha, Krishna. And here we introduce another two, Krishna and Balaram. The same one, but in two. Similarly, Radha and Krishna, one, but in two. The energy and energetic are one, but in two forms. So Radha Krishna is one absolute truth, but manifesting as energy and energetic. Similarly, Krishna Balaram, one absolute truth, but both are energetic. Balaram is not energy like Radharani is. So they are one identity. And Krishna expands himself like this so that he can serve himself. Krishna's expansions, originally just imagine that Krishna is all alone, there's nothing else but Krishna. So what happens? Then Krishna expands as Balaram. Then Balaram makes the whole spiritual world. Balaram makes everything for Krishna. All his personal paraphernalia and everything. And then Krishna expands further. His energies, they expand, Balaram expands, and everything happens after that. Of course, when I say that, imagine a time when Krishna was alone, there was never a time like that, because all these expansions, including the spirit souls, have existed eternally and will exist always eternally. Because the concept of time as we understand in this material world does not apply to the spiritual realm in the same way. So then Balaram has expanded from Krishna. He is Krishna, but he has expanded to serve Krishna. So there's the idea. You were there in the morning, yes, in Soho. So what are the two ideas of servant and served? You remember?
Sevaka.
Sevaka Bhagavan and?
Sevya
Bhagavan. Yes. Sevak means a servant. So Balaram is Bhagavan, he is God, but he is a Sevak Bhagavan, he is a servant God. And Krishna is Savya Bhagavan. Savya means one who is served. Akala Ishwara Krishna Arshava Bhritya. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned, it is Krishna alone who is the supreme controller. Everyone else is a servant. Krishna alone is the master. Now you have all these other expansions who are meant to serve Krishna directly or indirectly. But the process of service is so wonderful that Krishna reciprocates and he also becomes a servant of his servants. So Krishna will also serve Balaram. As I was sitting in the car, we were coming, it was a long journey, so I had time, so I read one chapter of the Krishna book, the killing of Dhenukasura, because it's Balaram's birthday. So I read the pastime of Krishna killing Dhenukasura, the 15th chapter. And before the pastime of Dhenukasura comes up, there is a description by Shukadev Goswami, beautiful description of Krishna going into the cowherd, into the forest with his cowherd boyfriends, how they observe the beauty of the forest. And there's a nice description of the birds, of the animals, the flowers, the bees. Very, very nice. Vrindavan, you can just imagine in your mind how beautiful Vrindavan is. And all the trees and everyone is offering respects to Balaram. And the children are all playing. Sometimes there are all these smaller animals like the rabbits and the squirrels and so on, which are always very fearful by nature. Have you seen, observe these smaller animals? They're always afraid. They're always looking here and there like the birds also. You see the birds? They're never steady and still. Always looking here and thither, who's there, who's there, who's there. Any slightest sign of danger and they run away or fly away. So when these smaller animals, squirrels, rabbits, etc., they would hear the sounds of larger animals, then in fear they would run away. And Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys would also imitate them. And they would also pretend to run away in fear. They would imitate the running of a squirrel or the running of a rabbit. And they would go on their fours and they would play like that and enjoy themselves. So all day long they would just frolic and have fun. This is the business of God, you see. God means just to have fun, enjoy. Not like we try to have fun in the material world. That's dealing with the material energy that only causes misery. So Krishna, God has no business trying to do all this material world, tackling everybody's karma, keeping track of all the karma of everybody, dispensing justice, and you know, creating the world, the universe, and then you know, managing the whole thing. So Krishna does it in a very simple way. How? Expands himself. And let his expansions deal with all of that. And Krishna simply enjoys himself in Vrindavan. So Balaram is his chief assistant in this enjoyment. So Balaram is there with him all the time. And Balaram will also, like Krishna, frolic and they will imitate peacocks. They'll imitate, sometimes they would stand in front of a peacock and imitate a peacock. Or they would go and tease a bird. Or they would tease a squirrel. You know, the animals have a peculiar way of moving their heads or their hands. And they would stand there and imitate them and then laugh, have a good laugh about it. So God enjoying himself like this, that's the beauty of Vrindavan. That their lordships, Krishna and Balaram, act just like ordinary children, but at all times they remain the supreme controllers of everything. And so they were imitating, and sometimes they would wrestle, or they would run, they would have races, you know, and someone would come first, and they would get tired. And then Krishna would, and as Balaram would lie down after being tired, and then Krishna would go and massage his feet. Or he would go and fan him. Sometimes Krishna would be tired, and he would lie down, and the other cowherd boys would come and massage Krishna's feet, and they would fan him and sing songs to relieve Krishna or Balaram of the fatigue. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would do the same to the other cowherd boys. So just imagine in your mind this beautiful setting in Vrindavan. So Balaram, he serves Krishna by sometimes taking service from him. So Krishna likes it. He likes to be engaged in such service to his dear brother. Oh Balaram, oh my dear older brother, you're tired. Please lie down. Let me massage your feet. Oh, you are exhausted, you're tired, you're very hot because of the afternoon sun. Let me fan you. So he begins. So this is the way Krishna and Balaram lived in Vrindavan, especially in their boyhood days. Before they began too much of interaction with the gopis, and even after that, in the forest it was mostly just the cowherd boys and the calves. Sometimes the boys would approach Krishna and Balaram like they did in this chapter, 15th chapter. This is when they have just finished their 5th year, they entered into their 6th year. They are now boys, not children, not babies now. They are not infants. You see, there is a stage in the age of 5 when you consider a child. Then from the age of 6 onwards, then a male child is considered a boy, and a female child will be a girl, not a child anymore. It's a girl or a boy. Then from 6 to 10, and then from 11 comes adolescence. Then the complications start. A troublesome period. Till 10 is all fine, there's innocence and there's everything like that. Purity, innocence. 11, they start understanding the world and everything goes alright. Everything is spoiled. Then they start cheating, they start lying, they start doing things, hiding things. Yes, everything starts at that age. So that's when Krishna Balaram's Leela of the gopis also begins. Everyone's hiding. The gopis are hiding things from their parents. Krishna's also not revealing things to his parents. All these things go on. So one time in their boyhood pastimes, the boys approached Krishna and Balaram and said, you know, you are the protector of the whole world. And, you know, we want to go to a particular forest. You know, we are also very hungry right now. You've killed so many demons in the past. Now we have one demon, the demon of hunger. And also we can smell the aroma. Can you smell it? Yes. Where is it coming from? It's coming from this forest called Talavan. And there are palm trees there, beautiful palm trees with palm fruit. And these are exceptionally fragrant and delicious. And we want to eat them, Krishna and Balaram. But there's a big demon who lives there, in the form of an ass, and his name is Dhenukasura. So Dhenuka was one of the associates of Kamsa, the evil uncle of Krishna who lived in Mathura. So he had his associates spread out all over Braj, everywhere. So Dhenuka, who was an asura, therefore he's called Dhenukasura, he had the form of an ass. And he had many, many associate demons who also took the form of asses, and they lived there. You know, since I mentioned Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, just next to the temple, just at a 2 minutes walk, there's a little guest house owned by somebody else, not an ISKCON devotee. It's called Dhanuka Ashram. I don't know if any of you have been there or lived there. It's a decent place to live. Not that I'm doing any propaganda, but just incidentally the topic has come up. And especially devotees from the West, you know, they've heard the name Dhenuka, Dhenukasura. They haven't heard the name Dhanuka. So they always call it Dhenuka Ashram, and the man is irritated, no, and I'm not Dhenuka, Dhenuka is a demon. This is Dhanuka. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, there was this demon Dhenuka. So the boy said, "You know, you, but and none of the birds even go there. What to speak of the animals and human beings? Nobody goes there out of fear of these demons. So please, do something about it." So Krishna Balaram said, "Yeah, let's go there." So then as they entered into the beautiful, they were struck with wonder to see the beauty of this forest. Beautiful palm trees with luscious fruit hanging from the trees, all looking so delicious. And then Balaram went straight up. There he is. Exactly, straight up. And then he started jerking and yanking one big tree. And when Balaram yanks a tree, then he really yanks it. And he jerked it and yanked it so vigorously that all the fruit fell down and made a loud noise. And at that time, Dhenukasura was there and he was astounded. Who dares to come into my territory without even asking me? And he's coming and taking the fruit and so impudently shaking the tree like that, making a noise, not even quietly doing it, but making such a big noise about it. So he was terribly angry. And he rushed towards to find out who the culprits were. And then he saw Balaram there. Balaram was the one who was shaking the tree. And so he rushed towards Balaram. And you know how asses kick? I hope you don't, but just theoretically. You know, hooved animals, four-legged animals, often kick. And they kick with their hind legs, mostly. Asses, etc. So you have to be careful. Camels, and they have powerful kicks. Don't underestimate the power of an ass. You may criticize an ass, you know, but when he kicks, oh, it can be difficult. So horses and asses, even bulls and cows, if they're upset, they just raise their hind legs and they kick very hard. So then what they do is usually they will come around and face the rear side to you and then kick you. That's how they usually do. So he did that with Balaram. So Balaram stood there. What can the kicking of an ordinary demon, although he was not an ordinary demon, he was really powerful, but still for Balaram it's all very ordinary. So Dhenukasura kicked him with all his might, but didn't make a difference to Balaram. He kicked him again. And he attacked him again. Then the more Balaram was unaffected by it, the more Dhenukasura became angry. And then finally when he charged him again, Balaram very casually with one hand, he just caught hold of his two hind legs, which he had raised and propelled forward to kick him. He caught those two hind legs and he started whirling him around. And he whirled him and whirled him and whirled him and whirled him. And whirled him. So fast he was whirling him around. The speed at which he was whirling him around made him dizzy, the demon. And so dizzy that he lost consciousness. And as Balaram whirled him even more, he lost not just his external consciousness, but his soul left his body and he died. And then he threw him up into the air. And his body went and landed on one of the big, tall palm trees. And because Dhenukasura's body was so heavy, you know, the tree, even though it was very big and strong, it just collapsed and fell on the next palm tree. And that also could not bear the weight, so that also fell down. In this way, many trees were felled. And hearing the whole commotion and seeing all the other donkey associates, the ass associates of Dhenukasura came running towards Krishna and Balaram. And both of them easily tackled them. And they all caught them by their hind legs, swung them around like that and threw them up into the air. They all landed on top of different palm trees. And Shukadeva Goswami describes that this was a panoramic scene. And these asses were all differently colored. So it looked like, you know, clouds of different colors had settled on top of the trees all over. It's like an artist, you can imagine an artistic scene there. You know, a painter painting a scene with clouds of different colors on top of each tree. So it looked like that. And finally they were all done, all dead. And then all the boys were happy and they started eating the fruit. It was delicious. And soon after that, all the animals, especially the smaller animals, they started coming in to the forest. And in this way, Krishna and Balaram enjoyed their pastimes in the forest with the cowherd boys. So Krishna killed most of the asuras, but there were some asuras like Dhanukasura that Balaram personally killed. He also killed Pralambasura and so on. So in Vrindavan, Balaram is always with Krishna performing many pastimes. Outside of Vrindavan as well, Balaram tried to be as often as possible with Krishna, but not often because, you know, once you grow up, you go your own ways, you have your family, your brother has his family, you can't meet as much as before, but you still meet. So Krishna and Balaram also grew up and then they went to Mathura and then Dwarka. They had married, had families, etc. But still, Balaram was always very protective and fond of Krishna. The interesting thing about Balaram's wedding, very interesting story. What were the names of Balaram's queens or his wives? Who was Balaram's chief wife? Not Renuka? Revati. Revati. And very interesting pastime behind this. I'll first go back to the previous life of Revati. That's not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but is there in a scripture called the Garga Samhita. So, there was the Manu. You've heard of the Manus, yes? There are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. It's from Manu that the word man comes, yes? So, this is the seventh Manu that we are living in. The reign of the seventh Manu. It's called the seventh Manvantara. And who is the Manu here? The current Manu? Anyone? Vaivasvata Manu. He is the son of Vivaswan, the sun god. From Vivaswan comes Vaivasvata. So his name... Anyway, so he is the... He's called Shraddhadev. So he is the Manu. And in every Manu's reign, there are 71 Chatur Yugas, four Yugas. You know, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali. These are the four ages. And they repeat cyclically like that. So in any Manu's lifespan, there are 71 approximately such Chatur Yugas, four Yugas. So this is the seventh one in this day of Brahma. And before this was the sixth Manu. What was his name? Chakshusha Manu, yes. Chakshu. So this Chakshu Manu king, he had a daughter whose name was Jyotishmati. Now she was very beautiful, and naturally the king was eager that the princess should find a very nice suitable groom or husband. So but she said, I will only marry the most powerful person in the whole creation. So now Chakshusha Manu was thinking, that's the tall order, how to find the most, the strongest person in the whole universe. So he went to Indra, the king of the demigods. Indra said, you know, I'm no match. If she wants the most powerful person, well, Vayu, the god of the wind, is more powerful than me. So go to Vayu. So then Chakshusha Manu went to Vayu. Vayu Dev said, you know, I'm strong, yes, but not as strong as a mountain. I can't move the mountains. So go to the mountain. He is very strong. So mount the Parvat also, he said, no, I'm strong, but I mean, there are people stronger than me. It went on and on till it came to Shesha, on whose hoods the entire universes rest. And he said, actually, the original personality is, I come from Balaram. So Balaram is the most powerful personality. So then Jyotishmati resolved, okay, I will go and perform austerities to please Balaram so that he will accept me as his wife. So then she started performing austerities. The other demigods started getting perturbed because they wanted to marry her. And they came to tell, to try to dissuade her from this. He said, no, we are also eligible. We are also very good candidates. Please consider us. We would also like to marry you. And she became annoyed. And she cursed them. And they fled in fear. They didn't want to be cursed. Then finally, Brahma tried to intervene. And he said, okay. You marry Balaram, alright, I'll give you the boon that you'll get Balaram as your husband. But remember, it's going to be 27 Chaturyugas before that can come. Chaturyuga, as I said, is the four ages together. Now this pastime happened in the end of Chakshu's life, the sixth Manvantara. We are in the seventh Manvantara of Vaivasvata Manu, and this is the 28th Manvantara. So 27 have now elapsed and we are in the 28th. So Brahma said, yes, you will marry, but after 20, Balaram, but after 27 Chaturyugas have elapsed. So she got offended by that. Not by the fact that she would marry Balaram, she was happy about that, but the fact that she'd have to wait for 27 divine ages to pass. So she was about to curse Balaram, to curse Brahmaji, I beg your pardon. And Brahma again consoled her and says, all right, don't worry. I give you the benediction also that somehow or the other, these 27 ages will pass by in a jiffy, like a moment for you. Because you'll have to go to my planet, and then you'll be able to marry Balaram. So then she was happy. And in her next life, she was born as Revati, Princess Revati, who was the daughter of a king called Revata or Kakudmi. Now King Kakudmi or Revata, he was looking for a suitable husband for his daughter. And he was looking everywhere, he couldn't find someone suitable. So he thought, let me go to the creator of the universe, Brahma. Let me go to Brahma Loka and take a good counsel from Brahma and ask him who would be the best candidate for my daughter as a husband. So he traveled all the way to Brahma Loka from Earth. And Brahma was hearing a musical performance by the Gandharvas. So he was engaged in some activity. So by the time Brahma got free enough to see him, then he went inside. Oh, King Kakudmi, you have come. So what can I do for you? Then he offered his respects to Brahma and said, this is the purpose for which I have come. I have come to ask you who is the best husband for my daughter on the earth. And Brahma started laughing loudly. And he said, from the time that you have come here and waited for me, because time is relative in this universe, time on my plane of existence and time on the plane of the earth is so vastly different that just a few minutes of my time mean millions of years on earth. So everyone you know, or your armies, your commanders, your families have all gone. They've all died many, 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 many hundreds of thousands of years ago. And you've been waiting here for some time, thinking for you just a few minutes have elapsed. But on earth, eons have elapsed. So King Kakudmi became very sad. So what do I do now? And what do I do with my daughter? He said, don't worry. There's only one person who will be the right candidate to marry. It's the end of Dwapar Yuga there on earth. And there is Balaram. So you take your daughter down to earth and then offer her in marriage to Balaram. So Kakudmi was relieved. Okay, I have a very suitable husband for my daughter. So they went down to earth. But that was not the end of the problem. There was still another problem. What was the problem?
Swing down the
She was very tall. Why?
She was from a previous era.
Because she was from a previous age. She was not from Dwapar Yuga. You see, the scriptures describe that from Satya Yuga to Treta to Dwapar to Kali, there is a decrease in all good qualities, including in physical qualities. Intelligence diminishes, memory diminishes, the good virtuous qualities amongst people diminish. Physical strength also comes down, the height also diminishes. So the Satya Yuga people are huge, massive. We cannot even imagine how tall they would be. And by the time of Treta, they are also very high, but shorter than they were in Satya Yuga. Then in Dwapar, they further reduce. And in Kali Yuga, a person who's 6 feet tall is considered quite tall. But a 6 foot or 6.5 foot person would be like a pygmy compared to the people of previous ages. And as Kali Yuga progresses, and towards the end of Kali Yuga, perhaps a person who's 4.5 or 5 feet tall would be considered a giant. That's how things go down. With the age, the time factor acts in such ways. So, even though Balaram, by the standard of Dwapar Yuga, was big, by our comparison, in Kali Yuga, he was huge. But from the comparison of the previous ages to that, and Revati was from that age, and by her standards, she was not exceptionally tall. She was just like an average, you know, young lady of her time. But because she was from a previous age, therefore, she was really tall. And when she came down in front of Balaram, you know, Balaram had to look way up like that. So now King Kakundi was thinking, now that's an awkward situation. How to resolve this? Now Brahma has said that Balaram is the most suitable husband for my wife, for my daughter. But now she is towering over him. She's like a huge tower and he's small in comparison. So what to do? So Balaram also knew that Revati is his eternal consort. So he had a way out. He just took his plough. He carries a plough. In Vrindavan, what does he carry? Yeah? You see, he carries also the mushala. Mushala means a club. But Vrindavan, he doesn't need to carry a club. There he's just enjoying himself. He has a bugle horn and he blows that and enjoys himself. But now he's playing Dwarka Leela. So he had this plow just like that. Yes, can I have this? Balaram, can you come here and show yourself, reveal yourself to the devotees? No, okay. Just show the plow to everyone. Yeah. So Balaram took the plow. He took it to the head and the shoulder of Revati and he just pulled her down and she came down in size. And she became the right height. Just right for Balaram. And then they married, and then of course so many wonderful pastimes happened. So this is all something about Balaram's marriage. In Dwarka also Balaram played some very important roles there. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Balaram did not participate. Why not? Because he was Duryodhana's guru, so he could have fought on Duryodhana's side. Why didn't he do that?
He didn't want to fight against Krishna either.
And not just Duryodhana was his, even Bhima was his disciple. Disciple in what? In club, fighting with the club. So he was a guru teaching fighting. Martial arts. So, of course, Duryodhana was his favorite student. He was even dearer to Balaram than Bhima because Duryodhana was so committed to learning. A very, very good, diligent student. So therefore Balaram just kept out of it. He went on pilgrimage. And he returned. By the time he came to Kurukshetra, it was the last day of the battle. And he had also taken a vow not to participate. And then the time came when Duryodhan was left. Most of the Kaurava army had been destroyed. But Duryodhan was remained. He was still alive. And there was a fight to death between Bhima and Duryodhana with clubs. They were both very, very skilled and powerful fighters with a club. And it went on and on, one-to-one combat. There was a lot of ethics in those days in combat and in battle, not like today. Just throw a bomb and run away, leave a bomb in a suitcase, or just fire someone who doesn't know. Yes? So they had rules for combat. So they were fighting with each other, and Krishna, Arjuna and some others were watching. And the fighting went on and on and on and on. And they were evenly matched. Duryodhan was a little more skilled than Bhima. But Bhima made up for the lack of skill with extra power, because he was stronger than Duryodhana. So in that way, that with the combination of skill and power, they were evenly matched. And finally, when this was going on like this, it was like a stalemate. Then Krishna did something. What did Krishna do? Yes. Krishna touched his thigh like this, indicating what?
To hit his thigh.
Indicating to Bhima that he should hit Duryodhana's thigh. Now, was that appropriate or not appropriate? Not appropriate from which point of view? From the point of view of code of conduct of warfare. But it is completely appropriate because it's Krishna who is doing it. Whatever Krishna does is dharma. He is the absolute truth. So if Krishna lies, that's the truth. If Krishna steals, whatever Krishna does is perfect. We cannot imitate Krishna. So anyway, he indicated like this. Now normally, we don't hit below the waist in warfare with a club, when you're in a duel. You only hit above the waist. But suddenly, Bhima swung his club and hit Duryodhan, on the thighs. And that broke Duryodhan's thigh. And he fell down on the ground. And he was wincing in pain, grimacing in pain, and said, "How did you do that? How did you cheat like this? It's a very cowardly thing to do." And at that time, Balaram was also present. He had arrived. He was also watching this. And then he saw this. Now what could he do? He was enraged. And he was going to pick up his club himself and destroy Bhima. And then Krishna intervened, as always. And in a very sweet voice, he pacified his older brother and said, "Brother, actually what Bhima did was right, because he was keeping his vow." What was Bhima's vow?
He was going to drink his blood. Drink his blood,
yes, but another vow?
He wanted to break his thigh because he does Draupadi to sit on it.
That's right. You see, at the time of Draupadi's attempted disrobing in the open court of the Kauravas, Duryodhan had humiliated Draupadi, and in the open assembly he had slapped his thigh to indicate that Draupadi should come and sit there. And Bhima was boiling with rage, and there in the assembly he made a vow that, "I will break that very thigh one day. I take a promise, I will do that." So Krishna said, Bhima is keeping his vow. And Duryodhan also cheated. He is just getting the just deserts of his own bad karma. And with great difficulty, somehow or the other, Krishna pacified Balaram. Otherwise, Balaram was furious. So Balaram would sometimes exhibit his rage. One time in Vrindavan, when he was doing his Rasa Leela. And as I was mentioning this morning in Soho, Balaram's Rasa Leela is different from Krishna's Rasa Leela. He has a different set of gopis from Krishna's set of gopis. And when he was doing his Rasa Leela, he wanted to also sport in the waters. So he called Yamuna, come, so that we can sport in your waters. But Yamuna did not heed his call. So with his plow, he just pulled the water, the banks of Yamuna. And then Yamuna started, you know, dividing into many streams, and there was havoc. She panicked and she quickly appeared in front of Yamuna, or Balaram, with folded hands. She understood, I'm sorry, I've committed a great offense against your lotus feet. Please forgive me for my offenses. And then Balaram forgave her. And along with his gopis, he sported in the waters of Vrindavan. Even in Hastinapur one time, Balaram exhibited his anger and used his plow with devastating effect. What happened was that one of Krishna's queens, Jambavati, had a son whose name was Samba. Samba one time, as was the practice amongst the Kshatriyas, he kidnapped the daughter of Duryodhan, whose name was Lakshmana, because he wanted to marry her. So the Kshatriyas, they would do that sometimes. You know, they'll forcefully go on horseback and then pick her up and go away. Don't try these things now, though. But in the Kshatriyas in the old days, that was the practice. And then the other Kshatriyas, the father of the girl, would then retaliate, and then battle would take place. You know, the life was different. So then they sent out an army to get Lakshmana back. And as Samba was driving away, the army caught up with him, and you had the top generals of the Kaurava army, you know, they surrounded Samba and fought with him. It was an uneven combat. It was against the ethics of combat. And they overpowered Samba, captured him. When the word reached Dwarka, everyone was enraged. They said, how dare they capture Samba like this? Now we'll go forward with our army and we'll destroy them. And Balaram pacified them. He said, no, 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 let me go out. I'll go with the message of peace. I'll pacify them and peacefully bring Samba back. So when he went there, he was shocked that the Kauravas did not receive him nicely. In fact, they spoke some words of insult. And they kind of deprecated the value of Krishna and of the Yadu dynasty, and Balaram became furious. So he picked up his plow and he struck it in the ground and he dragged it towards Yamuna. So the whole city of Hastinapur was started getting dragged, pulled. Imagine the whole city getting pulled into the river. That started happening. When the Kauravas saw that, they panicked and they realized what a big blunder they had done. So they all begged forgiveness from Balaram. And eventually everything was adjusted, everything was settled. And then Lakshmana went with Samba and everything, all the marriage happened properly and all that. So Balaram performs pastimes like this in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka, Hastinapur, Kurukshetra. So he's an associate, the first associate of Krishna. And his only business, so to speak, is to assist Krishna. Srila Prabhupada one time said in Vrindavan, pray to Krishna Balaram. Pray to Krishna to give you spiritual intelligence and pray to Balaram to give you spiritual strength. And Balaram is represented in this world by the Guru. Balaram is the original Guru Tattva. And without the mercy of Guru, one cannot enter into the mysteries of spiritual life, and especially Vrindavan. So because the Guru represents Balaram, he prepares our consciousness to be able to understand and realize these transcendental mysteries. In fact, when Mother Devaki had the six children, and each of them was killed by Kamsa. And then there was a seventh pregnancy in which Balaram appeared, and then he was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, and after that Krishna appeared in Devaki's womb. The question arises that why did Balaram take birth before Krishna? Why did he not just take birth directly as the son of Rohini? Why did he have to be transferred, etc.? So the reason for that is that now that Krishna was to be born and he was to appear in Mother Devaki's womb, Balaram had to come there to prepare the ground for it, so to speak. These other six had come and they had gone. So now he had to come to make the womb transcendentally suitable for Krishna's advent into her womb. So Balaram appeared, you know, and made everything just suitable and pure. So similarly for us, before we can be eligible to enter into the spiritual world, we need the mercy of Balaram. So today on his appearance day, we can pray to Lord Balaram to give us his mercy. Because on a birthday, generally everyone is very happy. No? So on his birthday also, he's much more magnanimous and much more willing to give benedictions. So on this day we should pray to him that he can give us spiritual strength and he will also give us entrance into Vrindavan in our consciousness. So we understand Radha Krishna and all the pastimes of Vrindavan and make our life perfect. Shri Balaram ki
jai.
Shri Balaram Jayanti Mahotsav ki
jai.
Shri Krishna Balaram ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Gopremanande,
Hari Hari,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.